G'day everyone, welcome to the first free kick on air for 2026. I am joined ably this evening by Mel. Mel, can you hear me? I sure hope you can, otherwise we are in dire straits already. The tech's already battling us.
Oh, I'm on mute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Loud and clear.
Delightful.
It's starting to feel real. I think that's the main thing that I got in that half an hour between teams being confirmed for this Sunday's games and the start of this live recording. It's like, oh, I've got all those jitters that come with the first lockouts. It's starting to actually feel like this is starting.
Yeah, and especially so because we have lockouts and then we have 4 days of twiddling our thumbs before we get any more games. So it's like, oh, this decision for this weekend matters, but then we have to just live with the consequences for 4 days before we get any new information. So intense. But no, I'm super keen. I'm very keen to go. I hope the forecast means it's not going to buck down on Sunday, because that won't be very fun to get to, but I'm looking forward to the game.
I was about to say, it is under the roof, so I'm not sure necessarily that the weather will be a massive impact on the game itself.
But it's going to dampen my spirits getting there. Yes.
And I do find it hilarious that you think that we are just going to twiddle our thumbs between Sunday evening and Thursday night, as though that is not the most active time for tinkering imaginable.
Yes.
Let's jump straight in. Let's talk Carlton and St Kilda. We have confirmed squads. I'm just going to quickly read through them. Every single player named on the ground, and then we will get to some of the more interesting players named and not named. So, St Kilda, they have named, starting in the back line, Ella Friend, Paige Trudgeon, Serene Watson, Sophie Butterworth and Alice Burke. In the middle, Nicola Barr on one wing, Georgia Patricios in the middle, and Charlotte Baskren on the other wing, with the followers of Reen Karras, Jamie Lambert and Tiana Smith. Half forwards, Ashley Richards, Abby Hobson, Hannah Priest, and then at full forward, Jesse Tafia Wardlaw and Janome Anderson. And on the bench, Bianca Jacobson, Amber Clark, Alana G, Olivia Vesely, and the best ruck of 2025, Zoe Basenko.
Yes.
And for the Blues, we'll start again from defence. Maddie Hendry and Harriet Cordner. Halfback, Shifra O'Connell, Kira Fitzgerald and Amelia Bellardo. On the wings, Yasmin Dersma and Dana Finn. In the middle, Jessica Good, Abby McKay, Nimi Hill and Claudia Whitford. At half forward, Lila Keck, Iron Fitzpatrick and Poppy Schultz. Full forward, Darcy Vesio and Nell Morris-Dalton. And on the bench, Tara Bohana, Brooke Vickers, Brooke Boylow, Lily Goss and Gabriella Pound. All right. Let's look at Carlton first, because I would say that the most impactful players who weren't named were all from the Blues. First and foremost, we did hear about this on Tuesday, but Lauren Bella out with a calf. Big deal. One, she was, you know, had been a name we'd considered earlier in the preseason. I thought she was a possible option at one point as an R2. But it does bring up the question.
Yeah, because she's so cheap.
Exactly. And she has done high 50s and 60s before. Now the question is, can you start Jess Good, 623K ruck, for the time that Lauren Bella is out?
I mean, Jess Good is a lot more expensive. So where that's really like a ruck 1.5. Because she's not going on my field and she's too expensive for my bench. So probably awkward price point. But also she's not really a full game player from memory. So even with Bella out, is she going to substantially increase her scoring to justify such an awkward price point? I don't know. It's a little bit tricky. If this was a different line and not rucks, then maybe. But... Like, it's definitely where the lion's share of Bella's fantasy scoring is going to go, but it's not enough to make it an attractive fantasy option for my starting side, given everything else that's going on. What about you?
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, if my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bike, trying to compare the rucks to any other line. But in terms of Jess Good, I think it's important to note that she's never really had a game where she's rucked completely to herself.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think it's a situation where if we were two on-field rucks as opposed to one ruck on field, one on the bench, I would be making this part of my structure, planning to trade her out in 3 to 4 weeks and running with that. But like you said, I really don't want to be playing around with trades given the drastically reduced ratio of players to trades that we have this year. I can't abide it.
Surely dreaming up a hypothetical situation where we have two rucks on field is as ridiculous as saying if the rucks were not the rucks. And neither of these options are true, and neither of them we're going to be able to pick Jess Good.
Fair. Fair. I that was some sass back in my direction that I don't have a reasonable response for. Now let's talk about the midfielders who are missing, which we didn't find out about until yesterday. Tut tut tut, Carlton. Less than 48 hours between the injury reports coming out and then all of a sudden two of their best midfielders, or two of their better players in Sophie McKay and Keely Sharar, both out with injuries. One with a calf, and I think it was McKay with a calf and Sharar with a quad. Now, word from AFL House today is that they're both expected to be on the minor side. I can't say I've heard of many minor quads.
Yeah.
Or minor calves. They do not scream to miss as injuries to be playing around with. Maybe if we were hearing this in the back end of the season as the team was coming into finals, you could make the case that, this is a bit of injury management. But for round one, it's a bit of an odd one.
Yeah, and to announce it 2 days after the official injury report, so it's not really going through with the same level of scrutiny of when they'll be back, is a bit rude. But it does make me feel better about Whitford, who is someone that has come in and out of my side a few times. I think this definitely means she's listed anyway to play, but I feel more confident about her permanent midfield role and the necessity of her CBA skills now with these outs. Especially Shearer, so.
Agreed.
Shearer, so.
Wholeheartedly. And that is exactly where I was leading the conversation to. I'd say Claudia Whitford, with those injuries, becomes a much more important player to start. Not a player that is a lock. If you were to start a team on Monday and you didn't have Claudia Whitford sitting here now, I think you'd be more than capable of competing. But she does become... I released my article today, my team release, and I'd broken down my team into different buckets, locks, highly likelies, probables, and possibles. With the injuries that have been announced, I think that Claudia Whitford goes from a probable into the highly likely category, given how cheap she is.
Yes, but also slightly cheaper again. We've got Brooke Boileau in the middle. I don't think her... position is as guaranteed in the midfield as Whitford's, as she's not bringing quite as much, but a little bit cheaper again, also going to get a bit of a benefit from this injury news. I mean, I wouldn't be picking her over Whitford, but if you're doing a last-minute fiddle with your teams and you're like, oh, I just need someone a little bit cheaper, I wouldn't be picking both of them either. But
I would not be picking Brooke Boileau, because the only thing we've heard about Brooke Boileau in this offseason is A, that they think she's good, and B, that she's cross-training as a forward. Only discussion of her work as a forward. Every time they're like, oh, we like her, and, she's obviously going to spend some time as a forward, got a bigger body, I'm like, that's a sign that she's been playing forward for them. That's not a positive in my mind, particularly with the limited injury information we have too on McKay and McKay and Sharar. I wouldn't be going there. One name that I wasn't expecting to see is Nell Morris. another rookie, is someone that we've seen play in the AFLW for many seasons, was delisted by Collingwood at the end of last year, popped up on the Carlton VFLW list, and then has made a very late push from VFLW list to train on player to listed player to making club debut. Rookie price player. Wouldn't be going there because I don't love the decision to, again, lock up your flexibility for someone where we've not seen them in this new system. But a name I'd say to keep an eye on, given that, you know, it's a key forward, but with a number of years in the system and a decent enough scoring pedigree, I'd say. Well, I'll keep chatting then about some other rookies that I thought were interesting from Carlton. Schiefer O'Connell, 218K defender, played six games last year for only 20 points, but did have a 38 when they played in the practice match. So eminently possible that she may be a 40 scorer this year. But I just don't think I'd be picking that kind of option, to be honest.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Now I can hear Mel.
Oh, cool.
It's unclear whether or not everyone else could, but it was not out of an attempt at being rude. I just did not hear a single thing.
That's cool. No, I was just saying some fun stuff about Nell Morris-Dalton, and you're like, well, I guess I'll move on. Okay. Fine. Yeah, no, nothing too exciting to add. Let's keep going.
I think now we should move across to St Kilda. Now, I don't think there are any injuries that we really want to discuss too much. The only player that wasn't named even in the extended squad that I thought was interesting was Emily Fiedler. So it's a Reen Karras versus Jess Good. Mano a mano, 1v1 hit out. Not something I expected to be saying in round one of any year. But the player I want to discuss more than anyone else is Ash Richards. A bit of a darling in fantasy circles after what she did in a three-game stretch at the back end of her season before a pretty horrific ankle leg injury last year. Based on what you've seen on teams named, are you picking her?
Oh, I don't know. She's not, I'm feeling a little bit iffy. I don't have a strong conviction either way, and I don't have strong justification why I'm iffy. I've just got a vibe. I think that the fact that St Kilda have pretty much hurt their full team means that she's not going to get like any additional boosts necessarily. She did look pretty good in the Pracky game. Like that is a good reason to have confidence, I guess, with her scoring there. But, and we do know what she was capable of at the end of last season. I'm just not sure. Where's your head at?
I think I'm also very unsure because I would say that my F2 and to some degree F3, probably the position that has most rotated, particularly since the practice matches and it became clear that Michaela Bowen was such an outstanding option, even if she did feel expensive. Here's my thinking. It's the fact that Liv Vesely has been named. I just get the sense that I had some belief earlier in the preseason that Nick Del Santo would see what Richards did in the back end of last year and go, that is our best explosive midfielder. We need to get her in there constantly. But then to have multiple forward rotations in the practice match, I didn't love to see it. Hearing and seeing some stuff on the Saints social media where Richards is talking about, you know, wanting to play forward or want to be forward. I'm like, that's not the news that I wanted. I didn't want her to look as good as she did when playing forward. So I am wavering. I won't. There's a case to be made for picking her and then planning to trade her out later in, you know, before round two, if the role really isn't there. Just because I think there's a potential she is a 75 averaging forward if she has the midfield role and the tackling particularly. But
yeah, but then if she doesn't, she's a 700k mid forward who's playing forward, who's not getting her priced at. Or not. Correct. Probably not getting even, yeah, even though it's, you know, weighted high, underweighted because of the back end of last season, like, you might not even get your money's worth, which is then tricky.
Yeah, so I can't be talking. I'm struggling to talk anyone out who has Richards already in their side, but I'm struggling to make a strong case to actually put her in. I think it's my main sense at the moment.
If you've got her, keep her. If you don't get her.
Don't do it.
That's essentially our lack of confidence answer.
Yeah, I think that perfectly surmises it. Now, this is a team with a few more rookies, almost all of them forwards. So Abby Hobson, Sophie Butterworth, Zoe Basanko are the three named rookie-priced players. Now, Mel, can I paraphrase you here? Zoe Basanko, high, covet me, and not worth picking?
Yep, that's my summary. She was a ruck last year, so, of course, she made an appearance in my side. Yes, difficult to lay eyes on, wasn't on the ground a lot, didn't get a whole lot of fantasy points, would not recommend. Would rather take a gamble on a genuine rookie who's 200K, and then if they flop, I'm like, well, I couldn't have known. You know, no one could have known. Where Basanko, you're like, well, I could have just looked at last year's scoring and should have known better. So that's not I'm not recommending that one. Abby Hobson.
I'm not recommending any of them.
I was like, Abby Hobson, 24 in the Pracky game with a large time on ground, not sounding great.
And averaged only 49.5 in the under-18s.
Yeah. And who's the other one? Butterworth.
Sophie Butterworth.
Yeah. She's not really come on my radar to consider. 200K forward.
Did have six tackles in the game against Adelaide and had some time on ground, but I wouldn't be picking her either.
There's more exciting players. But, you know, the benefit of picking her is
full stop, full stop, or just in the forward line? Because I think you can make the case of both, but that was very definitive statement.
Just general. But if you pick one of these rookies and they go absolutely gangbusters, you're going to have a really high score for a few days, and that's a nice morale boost to start the season.
Yeah, but I doubt it.
So other than that, yeah, nah.
I think that was most of the players I wanted to discuss from this game. I think the other option to consider is, you go. I was going to say Serene Watson is probably the other player worth mentioning.
Oh, I was just going to say worth calling out. I'm just doing the Dr. Free Kick article at the moment for our injury assessment and the other fantasy players that are relevant as the backup. And no highly owned injured players in either of these games, which is really good to see. The highest owned injured player is Lauren Bellow, and that's only about 2% anyway. So no big, like, last-minute shuffles required out of this lineup for most people, I'd say. What were you going to say?
Yes. I was going to move on just to talk about some other highly owned players who are playing who are potentially worth picking. But I was also going to say there are two rookies who are in over 2% of teams from St Kilda. There's Karis Daddario, and then Mel. I would like you to attempt to pronounce the other player in the run sheet, whose surname is Lally.
I was really hoping you weren't going to do that. Nah, not my strength. I'm just going to leave it to you to not upset our fans.
It is Siosha Lally.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
There was not a chance in the world. I had to go and look it up. It's not intuitive for an English speaker or a non-Gaelic speaker, but they are in over 2% of teams. Not many, but neither of them have been selected both, however, I thought worth naming. And then in terms of the other players that I would be considering picking, Aaron Fitzpatrick and Serene Watson. Aaron Fitzpatrick's at 17% ownership. Serene Watson is at 22% ownership. I'd say both are going to be around the mark for top six in their line. I'd say I can make a stronger case for picking Watson because, A, I think the gap between her and the very top of her line is much smaller. And I just don't know if I see season-long upside in Aaron Fitzpatrick. But
yes,
I think an average picking a forward who's priced in the 70s, who will probably average in the 70s, is okay. But I would prefer the defender who can get closer and who has a ceiling to the forward. Given I feel like we have a lot more options in the forward line to go from that 50 or like low 60s up into the 70s range.
Yeah, that's true.
All righty. Now, let's just jump across to the injury list whilst we have everyone on the line. There was a couple of names that came out that I think we wanted to quickly discuss. We'd obviously already mentioned Lauren Bella. We've got Sophie McKay and we've got Keely Sharar. Were there any other options who had been named on this week's injury list that were worthy of a mention who may show up in a Dr. Free Kick article coming out in the next few days?
Yeah, well, I feel like in terms of ownership, big ones being Maeve Chaplin, out 3 to 4 weeks for her foot, which is devastating. Who else have we got on the high? Sorry, I'm just having a look at the ownership here. Oh, Ash Sentra's disappointing for me.
Ash Sentra is a concussion. I was actually thinking about a number of injuries named at Melbourne who aren't necessarily highly owned, who may impact highly owned players.
Yes. The defenders, well, namely, we already spoke Chaplin a bit about
and Taylor. Yeah, go.
Oh, I was just going to say we already spoke about a bit about Sintos for longer than we were expecting the other day.
Well, which is definitely an option. I was actually thinking about Maeve Chaplin and Sarade Taylor in defence. Both are 3 to 4 weeks. Which maybe puts a ceiling on, maybe puts a cap on how long Molly O'Hare will spend in your side if you're picking her.
Ah, is she in your side?
No.
Oh, you were hot on her after the Pracky game or before it even, weren't you?
I was hot on her before the Pracky game and then very cool afterwards. Jono is still quite warm. I'm much cooler because I don't think she's a very good kick. And I don't think Melbourne will want someone who's a bad kick from being responsible for a majority of their kicking off halfback.
Yes.
That was my main thought.
Which is interesting.
But yeah. I want to say that she scored very, very well. And I won't be shocked if this year or if it's next year, she does spend some time in the midfield because that was what she was drafted to do. That was her most natural position as a junior. And then the other name I wanted to mention was Ellie Hampson, out for 4 to 6 weeks with a hip. I think this is positive news for anyone like myself looking at an Abby Dowrick, Ash Woodland, or if you wanted to dabble with Piper Window. I think it opens up some scoring. We didn't see her play in the practice match, so we can't take it away and presume high scoring for any of those players, but I think it maybe gives a bit of a runway, particularly for someone Window, to get a better run in the side, albeit I think she will play predominantly forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, with her forward potential, I'm not really sure, or forward recency, rather, I'm not really sure what that does to Dowrick, but it is a probably, like, there's really only two outs at Port Adelaide, so by far the most impactful, but yeah, I'm not really sure the magnitude of that out.
It's not particularly large, but I do think it's just a little bit of upside, you know, on the margins, 2 to 5% up for some of those options, particularly for the Dowrick and Woodland, and maybe if you wanted to take a look at Sinead Goody, just taking away a potential body that will roll through the midfield to give a better chance for those players.
Yes.
All right, we have now... Yeah, go.
Oh, no, never mind. I was just checking something. So good. I was going to say Alice Edmonds, you know, shoulder. That feels pretty impactful. 1% owned. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Still devastating to see.
I think we'll put it in the don't worry about it category. All right. Well, let's answer questions for maybe about 10 minutes. First one here comes from Braddles. And it is, hey, leg ends. Biggest structure struggle so far is in the mids. A, three big dog mids with two rookies on field, or B, split one of the mid dogs into two mid prices and have one rookie on field. Looking at my current structure, I am the latter. I'm going two Uber premiums and then two, let's call them, you know, underpriced premiums / mid prices in the midfield with only one rookie on field. Where are you sitting at?
Yes, I also only have one rookie on field, but I feel like I've put a lot of my money into the midfield. I think that we've got a handful, or only a handful, but a handful of like midfielder rookies rather, that you can have pretty strong confidence on. And I think this is the strongest line for the rookies. And so I actually don't think two on field is outrageous. If you were like, oh, three on field, I'd be like, come on, like where else is your money? what are you doing? But
correct,
I think you could be quite comfortable with that. And I don't think it's, especially if you're leaving some of that extra money for next week as well. I think it'll kind of wash out. If you've got two rookies on field, I don't think it's going to be something to be concerned about. And it could actually work out better if we have like a Zippy Fish type situation from last year where everyone had her on a bench and then they didn't get all of her great scores. So I rate it, and my team is not done with multiple more injury shuffles to do. So I might, like honestly, might end up with that as well.
I agree. I'm leaning towards only having one on field, but, and this leads me on to the next question that I want to talk about. It's from Corey Blackledge. Is it okay to have Bowen in the mids if you're like six other forward options? I'm wondering if you can toy with having a forward in your midfield and then a mid-forward in your utility to give you that flexibility of how many rookies you have on field in any given week. How do we feel about that as an option?
So that's having a mid-forward in your midfield line.
Yes. In this case, it's Michaela Bowen, but it could be any number of options.
Look,
could be Ellie Blackburn.
I will defer to you for that one because I'm new to this DPP scenario, given I don't really care for men's fantasy. I think it's fine. I think it's probably not maximising the upside, but it does give you flexibility. I mean, I don't know that there's so many great forwards that I would want to pick extra, such that they're in my midfield line as well, but I'm sure there's a valid reason behind that. What do you reckon?
I think that there is an increasing case for doing it, and that's on the basis of one injury, and that's to Ellie McKenzie. And it probably brings two forward options up in consideration. Now, that was a question that we got from Damo Dogs. Ellie McKenzie, broken wrist, indeterminate return timetable, but broken arm or some kind of broken bone in your arm. That's, I'm going to call it a month she did it. So that's at least 2 to 3 weeks, I suspect, before she's back at full health. Does that raise the prospects of Sierra Greaves and surprise inside mid from the practice matches, Amelia Yesia? So I think that both of them now become more interesting to pick. And as a result, it may be a case that you do want to prioritise picking one of them, putting Michaela Bowen in the place of an Anne Hatchard, for example, in your midfield, versus struggling to find another option at either of those prices that Greaves or Yesia are at, picking them and then flicking Bowen, who I think we're fairly confident after how amazing she looked in the bracky, is going to be a top scorer this year.
Yeah. It would help you afford her as well. I think, like, outside of the forward mid structure stuff, yes on Greaves. Was a yes on Greaves already, or slightly, but, you know, she had made some appearances, but now, like, doubling down on that one. I think that is a great option. Although it's going to be devastating to watch Richmond play without Ellie McKenzie, because I think that's going to make it even harder than it already was.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most disappointing injuries from, or one of the most disappointing things coming from that Oz Ireland game.
Yes. Although Yassir, even though she did look very good, I almost want to see more before I'm going to back it in. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I've seen her, like, she's been around for a while and I'm not...
Never been a midfielder.
It doesn't give me, like, we haven't really heard anything about an off-season change. It feels more to me like a temporary trying something out rather than a role for the new season. But with McKenzie out, like, maybe it's, even if that's just something that they're testing, maybe it continues to stay for a little bit longer and it doesn't really matter if it's not a permanent role because it gets you a few weeks of good points for 300K. But, yeah, I really hope she is one of those players that, like, gets to stay in the midfield and take advantage of this opportunity, but I'm not sure if I'm willing to bet on it with my side.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think because she is so cheap, and it seems like also Dana East will be out at least for the first week, possibly first two, it becomes easy for us to pick. But it's certainly an interesting little conundrum. We will be keen on the news, particularly on how long McKenzie and East are expected to be missing when we get updated reports next week. Question here from Forrest: is Havana Harris at F2 too mid-priced madness?
F2? Well, that would be easy to look at if my plays were in order.
Oh dear. Okay, that's F2. Not a good, that's a sign of some serious tinkering.
But that's just like a Bowen and then a Harris, right? Like, that's not really... that's a bit of a jump, 300K, but then...
Michaela Bowen. Ooh, I don't know if anyone else can not hear Mel anymore or if it is just me.
Guys, I figured it out. My phone was closing. Can you hear me again?
I can hear you again. Well done.
Sorry. I don't think it's too crazy, but if you're going to have Harris F2, you'd better not be having two rookies in your midfield, because then where else is your money going? Like, I agree
wholeheartedly. I think it's a thing to do if you're picking three uber primos in your midfield.
Yeah. And then it does come back to that, like, forward mid structure again as well. Like, can you be chucking some of your high-priced mid-forwards into your midfield to have, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with the structure, but I don't think it's too crazy. But you are passing up on some good options in between those prices, like a Blackburn's pretty solid.
Blackburn, Mullins, Richards.
Yeah.
Aaron Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Some pretty good options there for the taking, and you've just skipped them.
I don't think it's too mid-price madness, particularly for the forward line and taking a bet on a breakout, but it is ripe with risk. And so that's why I'm personally not going to do it. Speaking of ripe with risk, we do have a question about, can we field a rookie at D6? This is a sub-350K player at D6. I can't do it. I don't trust enough of them at all. What about you?
Well, I've currently got Zoe Wack for a D6, but I mean, rookie price, not really rookie necessarily, but I'm not loving that. And I think I'd rather two midfield rookies than a rookie on field for D6. I mean, it depends who it is. Has this person mentioned who they have?
No. They've just said...
We're just going hypothetical.
Would you put a rookie at D6 or go deeper with Emmonson there instead of at D5? I'm Emmonson at D6 at the moment, so I'm on the latter option. Just didn't feel like we got enough data to really back in the consistency of scoring for any of those rookie price players.
Yeah. Yep, agree.
All right, well, let us move to a very important question, which is, what is going to happen with lockout this weekend? And this is from Boris FC. Well, that is a great question. And now is the perfect time for me to talk about it. All you need to make sure that you do is have in your side, which is saved. There's a save button at the top right-hand corner on desktop with whatever St Kilda and Carlton players that you want to be picking by the time the game starts. That's it. That is the main thing that we need to have locked away. So by 4:35, you're picking Claudia Whitford. If you're picking Serene Watson, if you're picking Ash Richards, if you're like Melon, you're picking Zoe Vasenko and Abby Hobson, you need to make sure they're all locked in by 4:35 and saved. However, those will be the only players that are locked in. You will be able to make continuous changes for the rest of your team until we get to the next round of lockouts on Thursday evening. So that's a very, very important question and something to make sure that you're across. I think the advantage we have in this game is that, A, there's not a lot of players to pick. B, there's not a players that are rookies as well, because you will need to be picking emergencies on your bench this year, which is something for AFLW because we haven't had two on our benches for each line before. But I don't think you're going to be picking many rookies or players on your bench in this game. So, it's definitely something where you should just be picking the players you're most comfortable with, saving that side and launching right away. And then final question, it's not been asked by anyone, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Right now, who have you got locked into your side from this game?
I have Claudia Whitford. And
well, that's it. I've got the same.
Good chat. Shefa O'Connell has come in and out, going to be honest. I do like what I saw from her. Coming out in and out as a defender on the bench, but I'm not sure where that's going to land.
Fair enough. I am maybe a 40%, 35% chance of picking Ash Richards at F2, but I can't decide. I am agonising, and I'll probably be agonising for one day, 22 hours, 24 minutes, and about 15 seconds, which is how long my desktop website for the fantasy platform is telling me I have until the next lockout. So
that checks out.
I'm going to enjoy that. Now, we're going to wrap up here for on air just for this week. Importantly, there will be one next week, and you get a whole bunch more information about that. In terms of what you'll read and hear from us over the next few days, the Rookie Bible is coming out on the website tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We will also be having at a to-be-confirmed time Dr. Free Kick, which is a discussion of all the injuries that we got this week from a fantasy perspective. Then we will be recording our best episode, or at least our most important episode of the preseason, on Monday night, which is our pre-round one wrap-up plus our Draft the Team special, which will be a barrel of laughs, as always, and possibly our most informative podcast. We'll be recording that on Monday night, likely to come out sometime very late Monday or early Tuesday. And then you will be getting, again, another on-air from us next week after teams are confirmed. Now, whether or not that's on Thursday or Friday, we are still to confirm, but you'll know when we know. But that means that, yeah, we are finally at the stage where we can start to lock in some players. Good luck for everyone. Make sure you do pick some options if you are interested in them. If you are agonising on how to pick your team, like I said earlier, I released my team reveal day. It was an article. And that is now out on the website, and it's been posted on Free Kick socials and my socials as well. So it's going to be a bumper few days. It's going to be a bumper great time. Mel, have you got any wise words for the people agonising before we wrap this up?
No, I think we said it all.
Great. Those are some wonderfully wise words. Hopefully you've enjoyed this, everyone, and you will hear from us very soon. Cheers.
Bye.